If you would take your Bibles and make your way to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Man, I love reading the Proverbs. I don't really preach from the Proverbs too much, but occasionally we do have those gems that just need to be addressed. And so Proverbs chapter number 15 this morning. Proverbs chapter number 15. And one proverb that will serve as our text verse this morning, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 2. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 2. Notice here in Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Our focus is going to be on the last portion of verse number 2. And of course, this could well be two different messages. The first message covering how that the wise use their tongue and their speech. And of course, the second dealing with the fool. Well, we're going to talk this morning and look this morning at how the fool speaks. And so the title of the message taken out of verse number 2 is Foolish Speaking. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We rejoice in who you are. We thank you for saving us by your grace and making us new creatures in Christ. And Lord, as all of our life is to be dedicated and spent for you, we pray that you'd help us this morning, Lord, to focus on our speech, how it is that we talk, what we say, and how we say it. And Lord, may our words and our speech be characterized as that which would proceed from a wise person and not a fool. Lord, we ask that you'd help us today to assess our speech and to make sure that we're not guilty of foolish speaking. We thank you for who you are and what you've done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our text verse, the portion that we're considering here is the last part of verse number 2, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The words poureth out literally mean to gush and to emit a foul odor. Now, I will leave it to your imagination to make the application. I can think of a couple events in my life where there was gushing and a foul odor, and I'm not speaking about me particularly, but things that I've witnessed and so forth and so on. You make the application in your own life. It is not something that is profitable for us to be involved in if we are gushing forth and omitting a foul odor. And I think we all could understand that. And as we look at verse number 2 this morning, where the Bible says, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness, you know when you hear a foolish person speaking, don't you? You know it. You automatically can assess that, and you don't need somebody to tell you, well, there's a fool that's speaking. You know that that person is either a fool by their speech, or you know that they're perhaps a wise person who's behaving foolishly, but you know that it isn't right and proper. Now, of course, this world is full of fools. Say that real fast five times. It's full, F-U-L-L, of fools, F-O-O-L-S. And, of course, one way that you can easily identify a fool is by their speech. It's by how they talk. Now, our text tells us that foolishness literally gushes out of the mouths of fools. And it is one thing for the lost world to speak foolishly, but we as children of God must be on guard lest we be acting like a fool, acting the fool, speaking foolishly and guilty of foolish speaking. Now, we are warned in Scripture, we're admonished multiple times, and we're not going to take time to look at all those, but I do want to mention one this morning that is of particular importance. In Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15, Paul gave a warning to the members of the church at Ephesus, and he said in verse 15 of chapter 5, "See then that you walk circumspectly," and of course the word circumspectly is cautiously, right? "See that you walk cautiously, not as fools," and the word fools there literally means unwise. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And so we are We are warned, we are instructed, we are admonished, we are exhorted to walk as wise people here on this earth and not as fools. Well, you know what? Our speech can betray us and reveal that we are really walking as a fool and not as a wise person. So this morning, we ought to think about how we speak. Do you watch what you say? Do you watch how you speak? Are you guilty of foolish speaking? Now, our text prompts us to consider three instructions regarding foolish speaking. And here are the three instructions. First of all, that we are to recognize foolish speaking. Recognize foolish speaking. Secondly, notice the ramifications of foolish speaking. And then the third instruction deals with how to respond. How to respond to foolish speaking. So notice these three instructions. We begin with the first instruction prompted by our text in chapter number 2 of Proverbs 15. Chapter number 15, verse 2, this morning. Proverbs 15, verse 2, the first instruction, recognizing foolish speaking. Now, how do we characterize foolish speaking? And I mentioned in the introduction, when somebody is talking foolishly, you recognize it. Nobody has to tell you, man, that's foolish talk. So how is foolish speaking characterized? And of course, this morning, we're going to limit ourselves to what the Bible has to say. We're going to look at a number of ways that foolish speaking is characterized. And so I'm going to read to you a number of verses this morning. Most of them are going to come out of the book of Proverbs, a couple other different references, but most of them out of the book of Proverbs. And so if you don't get to turn there in time, go ahead, jot the verse down, and I'll read the verse this morning. So how do we recognize foolish speaking? Well, first of all, foolish speaking is characterized in that it is arrogant. It is arrogant. When you hear somebody that is talking arrogantly, and what's another word for arrogance? Pride. When you hear somebody that's talking arrogantly and pridefully, you know that that person is guilty of foolish speaking. Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 1. Proverbs 14 and verse number 1 reads, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." You know, you don't hear a wise person boasting about how great they are. You don't hear a wise person extolling their own virtues. You hear foolish people doing that. You hear foolish individuals talking about how great they are and about how they do this and how they did that. And if you recall last week when we talked about how it is wicked and unwise for the saved person and really the lost person as well to pursue fame, we said that fame was motivated by pride. And you remember we read a scripture in the book of Daniel related to Nebuchadnezzar and how that Nebuchadnezzar thought that he was all of that because of the great kingdom that he had secured for himself, and he left God out of the equation, and God brought him very low and humbled him and took away that pride. And so how do we recognize foolish speaking? Well, it's arrogant, it's prideful. Proverbs 30 verse number 32 reads this. Proverbs 30 verse 32, "If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth." Hey, you know what? This applies not only to our speech, but also what we write. And how about this? How about what you text? Did you know that there's even an emoji where you could put your... Because, you know, you might have spoken foolishly, okay? And so we need to be on guard that we as the Lord's people are not speaking foolishly. We're not guilty of foolish speaking. How do we recognize it? It's arrogant. It's prideful. Ben Franklin famously said, "He is a fool that cannot conceal his wisdom." And of course, think about that. He is a fool that cannot conceal his wisdom. Well, you know, the person who has to extol all of their virtues and boast about their wisdom, no doubt really has none. And so we need to be careful. How do we recognize foolish speaking? It's arrogant. Secondly, the second way we recognize foolish speaking is it is antagonistic. It is contentious. Now, the Lord's people are to be peaceful people, are we not? We are to strive for peace, and the Bible says, as much as is possible, we're to live at peace with all men. And yet, foolish speaking is antagonistic. It is contentious. It stirs up strife. Proverbs 18 and verse 6 reads, "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes." And so, whenever somebody is trying to stir something up, you know that that is foolish speaking. Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse number 18 reads, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." And so somebody is slandering you or a loved one or a friend or a child of God, man, that's foolish speaking. Now, let me stop here for a moment. There are situations that we're put in where we got to call a spade a spade. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about slander. I'm talking about running somebody down and causing contention by what you say. "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth the slander is a fool." So, how do we recognize foolish speaking? It's arrogant. It's antagonistic. Thirdly, it's angry. It's angry. You ever hear somebody just lose their marbles and just, you know, what comes out of it, they just pour everything out. It's all been pent up, and now they are just letting everything out. Well, Proverbs 29 describes that person as a fool. In Proverbs 29 and verse number 11, the Bible reads, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." Now, you know what you have to have in order to be a wise person and keep it in till afterwards? You got to have some self-control. You have to be able to exercise self-control. Look, if we said everything that entered into our hearts and minds to every individual we met, man, can you imagine what kind of shape we'd be in? Because let's remember, okay, we are still sinners. We're sinners saved by grace, but we still have that old man and that old nature. We talked about how that the enemy, the devil, last week in our afternoon study of the Holy Spirit, how he operates in the realm of the mind and he puts thoughts in our minds. You can't just say what comes into your heart and into your mind. A wise person keeps it until afterwards. But what does a fool do? A fool utters all his mind. He or she might say it to your face. He or she might write an email. And you read that email and you say, yeah, this person's a fool. This person is uttering all their mind. They obviously have not taken time to think about what they're writing and pray about what they're writing and follow biblical counsel and biblical guidelines. They are just uttering all their mind. And it's obvious that they're what? They're angry. It's angry. A fool utters all his mind. Proverbs 12 and verses 15 and 16. Proverbs 12 verses 15 and 16 shed light on this. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." And then verse 16, "A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame." I remember times when I was in the military. I haven't really experienced this so much. Well, actually, I have. I'll explain that in a moment. I haven't experienced this so much since I've been retired from the military. But I had some bosses that, man, they just, the way they spoke to me, I should have popped them right in the mouth. But there's self-restraint. We're in the military. We don't do that. But you talk about disrespectful. Man, if we were out back and we weren't wearing a uniform and I wasn't in the military, you and I would tussle. You know, the way that they spoke, a way of a fool's right in his own eyes, their wrath is presently known. I started to say I haven't experienced that, but I have actually experienced this from some of our victims. Some of our victims, the way that they've spoken. I had a victim in a shooting case. A man, he called me a racist because I was prosecuting his brother who shot him in the leg. And the victim screaming and hollering, "Call me a racist." And I said, "Man, you can call me a lot of things. Don't you ever call me a racist. You don't know me. I don't care whether your brother shot you in the leg or not. You don't talk to me that way, and you don't talk to our victim witness specialist that way." Man, listen, a fool's wrath is presently known. So it's angry. And then fourthly, how do you recognize foolish speaking? Well, there is an aggregation to it. There's an aggregation. We might well say that it is cumulative. Okay? And here, let me say it this way. A fool never shuts up. They always got something to say. Right? They just can't keep quiet. They have to have the last word. They always have to opine on everything. You know what? There's some time when we should just be quiet and listen. I will remind you, as has been aptly pointed out by, you know, more mental giants than I, you have two ears and one mouth. Okay, so do double the listening, and there are times when we just need to shut our yapper, okay? Shut our pie hole, if you will. But with the fool, there's an accumulation, there's an aggregation. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5 and verse number 3. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When somebody will not shut up, probably foolish speaking. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. By the way, the same person that wrote the book of Ecclesiastes also wrote the book of Proverbs, and we understand that to be King Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 14. A fool is also full, F-U-L-L, of words. A fool is also full of words. And so there's an aggregation. That's another way that we recognize foolish speaking. And then lastly, how do we recognize foolish speaking? It is atheistic. Foolish speaking is atheistic. In Psalms 53, verse number 1, which is also repeated in Psalm 14 and verse number 1, but in Psalm 53 and verse number 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and that have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Now, eventually, the fool that says in his heart, there's no God, is going to eventually say it with his lips. Eventually, it's going to come out. The atheism is going to come out. There was a panel at City College of New York composed of Nobel Peace Prize laureates. Okay? And the question was posed, can you be a good scientist and believe in God? Here was the response of Herbert Hauptmann. Now, we all know Herbert Hauptmann, right? Go back to my message last week on fame. You don't know Herbert Hauptmann. Now, who knows Herbert Hauptmann, okay? But Herbert Hauptmann shared the chemistry prize in 1985, Nobel Prize for Chemistry, in his work on the structure of crystals. And he emphatically shouted, no. No. You can't be a good scientist and believe in God. He further went on to display his ignorance and foolishness by saying this. Belief in the supernatural, especially belief in God, is not only incompatible with good science, this kind of belief is damaging to the well-being of the human race. Well, you know what's damaging to the well-being of the human race? Herbert Hauptmann's existence, okay? Sorry, that's foolish speaking, but man, who is this guy? So now we need Herbert Hauptmann to tell us what we should believe. This is what you call science, falsely so-called, according to Paul's writing. So these are the ways in which we can recognize foolish speaking. It is atheistic as well. It gets rid of God. And by the way, think about this. We've been very particular here on some of our illustrations, but have you thought about this? If foolish speaking is atheistic in that it gets rid of God, what about this kind of speaking? You know, I'm going to move from this city, and I'm going to get a job here, and I'm going to pursue all my dreams. And one day, if there's a church there, I might attend that church, but I'll have to wait and see if there's a church there because that's where I'm going. That's where I'm moving. That's what I'm going to do. Is that not foolish speaking? That is eliminating the role of God in our lives. How about this? You know, man, there's a great opportunity for me over here, and I'm going to pray to God, and I'm going to see what God does, but first and foremost, I'm going to make sure I can serve the Lord there. And if there's not a place to serve the Lord there, then that is my answer. But I'm at least going to put God first, and I'm going to find out what God wants. Are we not instructed in Scripture that we're not to be presumptuous? That we're not to say, tomorrow I'm going to do this, and the next day. But we say, whatever God's will and purpose is, we will plan and make plans accordingly based upon what God wants. To do otherwise and to state otherwise is foolish speaking. So we move into the second instruction that's prompted by our text verse in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 2. Having already considered how that we can recognize foolish speaking, secondly, we want to talk just briefly about some of the ramifications of foolish speaking. There is a cost associated with foolish speaking. Number one, and there are two costs that we're going to look at, two ramifications. Number one, foolish speaking leads to disgrace. It leads to disgrace. In Proverbs 10 and verse number 18, the Bible reads, "The wise in heart will receive commandments." The wise in heart will receive commandments. The wise in heart will listen to the preaching of the Word of God. They will weigh what is said by the Holy Scriptures, and then they will act and react accordingly. The wise in heart will receive commandments. What's the opposite of that? "But a prating fool shall fail." Or fall, I'm sorry, fall. "A prating fool shall fall." Now, literally what this means is that a fool, by the fruit of his or her lips, is going to be overthrown in disgrace. The word prating, we should be familiar with the word prating. It's used multiple times in the New Testament. But the word prate means to be a babbler, to be a trifler. What is it to be a trifler? Trifler. Well, if something is trifle, it's of little importance. So, a prating fool shall fall. Someone who is a babbler, somebody who is a trifler, somebody who berates another person and mischievously speaks against that person. Now, who can you think of in Scripture that we are told was a prating fool? How about Diotrephes? Diotrephes was a prating fool. And we're going to talk more about that here in just a little bit. He was a babbler. He berated the Apostle John and those that would work with him. He spoke mischievously against the Apostle John. And so, one of the ramifications of foolish speaking is that it leads to disgrace. We find that reiterated in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up." And the word "swallow up" means to engulf or eat up. But let me read the last part of that verse, the last word, "himself." "The lips of a fool will swallow up himself." Verse number 13, "The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness." And so the question is, are we guilty of foolish speaking? There are ramifications of foolish speaking. It leads to disgrace. Have you ever seen this happen where somebody is just slandering and railing against another person, and that other person walks up and hears what's being said? That's disgraceful. It leads to disgrace. Now, some people want others to hear it and would not mind if that person walked up. But generally speaking, you know, when somebody's railing against somebody, they don't want to say it in front of that person. They want to say it behind their back and publish it to everyone else instead of confronting that person and talking to them. Which is, by the way, it's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. If I've offended you, you're not supposed to go and publish it to everyone else. You're supposed to come to me. And then if I won't hear it, then you take a couple more, and then of course you go to the church. Now, people that say they're Christians don't follow Christian in biblical counsel and biblical guidelines, but that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to go talk about the person to everyone else. That's foolish speaking. Now, I want to ask you this question. What instantly comes to your mind when I mention this person? Job's wife. How many scriptures do we have that speak of Job's wife? What comes to your mind, I'm talking about scripture-wise, when you think of Job's wife? You probably think, yeah, Job said she spoke as a foolish woman speaks. And it's true, isn't it? That's what you think of. In fact, in Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Verse 10, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. And so, is it not foolish speaking if I were to say to you, man, all hope is gone for you, why don't you just curse God and die? That's foolish speaking. And Job called her out on it. Man, I would have hated to have been at Job's house that night, but he had bigger problems to deal with, okay? But, you know, he said, you speak as one of the foolish women speaketh. And it's true. I mean, if you're thinking Bible-wise, when I mention and you hear Job's wife, you think of this. So there is disgrace. It leads to disgrace. And then secondly, lastly, it destroys. In the end, it destroys. What are the ramifications of foolish speaking? It leads to disgrace, and lastly, it destroys. Proverbs 10 and verse 14, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Proverbs 18 and verse number 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. You know what foolish speaking does? It destroys relationships. It destroys friendships. It destroys churches. It can destroy countries. Foolish speaking is dangerous. There are ramifications to foolish speaking. It destroys. I'm thinking about, and I know that not all of you are football fans, but I'm thinking about the Dallas Cowboys. And I used to be a huge Dallas Cowboy fan, and haven't been in, you know, probably 30 years or so. But, man, in the early 1990s, you got to give them their props. They were a great team. Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, you know the deal. And who was their coach? Jimmy Johnson. And they won two Super Bowls in a row. And you know what happened? After the second Super Bowl, they're sitting in an establishment, and Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, is talking to some other people from the NFL, and he's boasting about that team was so good that he didn't need Jimmy Johnson as their coach. They could have anybody as their coach and win a Super Bowl. And guess who walked up and heard it? And do you know that Jimmy Johnson never coached another game for the Dallas Cowboys? Their relationship was destroyed. The team was destroyed. They did eventually go on and win another championship under Barry Switzer, but they haven't won a Super Bowl in, 95, I think, was the last time. So you do the math. And they've been to the playoffs very few times. Can you imagine if with that talent they had kept Jimmy Johnson as their head coach? And you know what brought it to a conclusion? Foolish speaking. Now, you could say, well, that's idiotic. And I would agree that these two guys should have been able to mend fences, right? But that's what happens with foolish speaking. It leads to destruction. It breaks up relationships. It breaks up marriages. It breaks up families. It destroys friendships. Foolish speaking is dangerous. There are ramifications for foolish speaking. And then thirdly and finally this morning, the third instruction. How do we respond to foolish speaking? What do you do when you're confronted with foolish speaking? Well, you probably shouldn't do like I said I would have done if I wasn't in the military and gone out back and popped the guy in the nose. Okay? That's not the right way to respond, and hopefully you know I was just using that as an illustration with some hyperbole. Listen, ma'am. How do you respond to foolish speaking? What do you do when you're confronted with foolish speaking? Now, you're not going to like the answer to this. Because most of you would want to say, well, I just turn around and walk away. Well, how do you respond to foolish speaking? You address it. You address it. Now, hold on, because it isn't as bad as you might think. Okay? How do you respond to foolish speaking? You address it. Here is a critical proverb. We actually spoke on this proverb not too long ago, I think on a Wednesday night. I made reference to it. But in Proverbs chapter 26, verses 4 and 5. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 4 and 5. What at first appears to be contradictory is actually wise sage advice on how to address and respond to foolish speaking. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 4 and 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. So there would be some that would say, well, see, here's a fool speaking, and I just got to ignore him or her because the Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. But look at verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now, wait a minute. Which is it? Do I answer a fool according to his folly, or do I not answer a fool according to his folly? Well, that's a great question. And it's one in which I'm going to defer to Brother John Gill to explain, because he does a much better job of explaining it than I can, all right? Now listen to what John Gill wrote on Proverbs chapter 26, verses 4 and 5. He, the fool, is to be answered and not answered according to different times, places, and circumstances, and manner of answering. He is to be answered when there is any hope of doing him good, or of doing good to others, or of preventing ill impressions being made upon others by what he has said. When the glory of God, the good of the church, and the cause of truth require it, and when he would otherwise glory and triumph as if his words or works were unanswerable. He's to be answered. She's to be answered. I've said this before. Don't you let somebody slander your brother or sister. That's improper. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. What this means is that there are times when you ought to call people out for their foolish speaking. Now, we don't like that, do we? We don't like confrontation. We don't want any part of confrontation. But if you don't want confrontation, don't be a Christian. Now, I foolishly say don't be a Christian. You're born again, right? You can't unbirth yourself. But come on, people. Contention sometimes is part of what we have to confront. And the fact of the matter is there's sometimes when we answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Somebody's talking about something idiotic and they're spouting off about their knowledge. You know, you don't need to pick a fight with them. Let them be a fool. But when somebody is saying things that are harmful and dangerous and they're speaking as a fool, just like Brother John Gill wrote 200 years ago, you ought to step up. You ought to answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And so, yes, I'm saying this morning that when we hear foolish speaking, there is a time when we ought to respond. There's a time when we have to address it by confronting it. I remember a message that Brother Ken Johnson preached years ago at the Bible conference, the missions conference at Tabernacle Baptist Church in Lubbock, Texas. It probably was 1985, 86, somewhere along there, along those lines. And the title of the message was, Is Silence Golden? And you know what? Sometimes silence is not golden. And so, how do we respond to foolish speaking? We have to address it. And that means we either ignore it, if it's Proverbs 26, verse number 4, not answering a fool according to his folly, lest I also be like unto him, or we address it by answering it. One of those two. And then lastly, how do we respond to foolish speaking? Not only do we address it, but secondly, we avoid the foolish speaker. We avoid the foolish. If you are hanging around a person who is constantly speaking foolishly, then you yourself are on the road to becoming a fool. Why is this person your friend? I mean, if all that is happening is that they are spouting their foolishness continually, We are to avoid the foolish speaker. You say, well, Brother Mel, that's just your opinion. No, no, not really. It's the Bible. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 7. I love the way that God wrote His Word because He wrote it such that the simplest person on earth can understand it. Okay? You know, the person that doesn't have a number of secondary education opportunities. My dad, you know, didn't go past 7th grade in high school. And, you know, he could understand the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man. Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? Avoid the foolish speaker. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. You know what you get by hanging around a fool who speaks foolishly? You become a fool. You become a fool. And so we are not only to address foolish speaking, but we are to avoid the foolish speaker. Proverbs 15 and verse number 2 is very clear. The last portion that we covered this morning. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The mouth of fools gushes, emitting a foul odor. They gush out foolishness. We are to receive instruction regarding foolish speaking. We are to recognize foolish speaking for what it is. We are to understand the ramifications of foolish speaking. And then thirdly, we ought to know how to respond to foolish speaking. May the Lord give us wisdom and grace to order our speech in a way that honors and glorifies Him. Let's pray.